And then the North Platte Tree Board. Lyle, how are we doing?
Top of the morning to you, lad.
You want to introduce your new guest?
Yes, we have a new board member here. Well, she's not new. She's been here since, you know, been on the board since 2015. Tia McGuire is here to join us today, too. And I'm really thankful that she took the time to come in and give us a few extra words when we need her to do that.
Just so. Come right on up to the mic and look like you know what you're doing here.
Yeah. Right.
Well, I see you brought us in a kind of a go-no-go guide on what to do with our ash trees.
Right. Because, it's going to be, somebody's going to have to come to a decision whether they want to keep their tree or not, because it's, you know, pretty much doomed, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
I don't want to be spreading that gloom and doom, but...
Don't want to be a pest, but you are.
But don't want to be that guy, but you are.
But you are.
Starting in Detroit and working all this way around, and the Omahas and Lincolns, there was like 92,000 trees are being removed in Lincoln.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's inevitable. But if you can treat them, too. They've got treatments out there. And... if you decide you want to treat it, now one of the things you got to consider, you know, before treatment is that ash tree healthy? You know, if it's already got 50% of the tree branches that are dead, you know, there's no sense in trying to treat it. No sense at all. But if it's a good, healthy tree and you have a lot of sentimental value to it, you know, you're sure welcome to try and treat it. And there's a couple of different ways. You can do a drench. You know, the drench works mainly on trees that are 15 inches or smaller diameter. About if you measure about 4.5 feet off the ground, and that's where they call that as breast height. But if it's 15 inches or smaller, they're probably easily treated through a drench, what they call a drench. It's a chemical that you can add in water, and then you just literally flood the area around.
Saturate it, like right. Drip line in?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. And the roots will take up that, you know, take up the insecticide, and it will, you know, help prevent, you know, the bug from multiplying in that tree.
One of my ashes might qualify for that. The other one I think is too big.
Now, if it is bigger than 15 and you want to treat it, you can treat it through an injection system.
I've looked into that.
And you probably need a qualified arborist to do that. And it's very, you know, tricky to find a qualified arborist that do that around here. We don't have many that do or know how and to do that. And so
I only know one, and he's near Omaha.
Yeah. And so, you know, you can try to find one if there's someone, you know, go to the web, you know, the internet, and Google arborist in the area. I think there's one as close as Gothenburg that can do that.
That's better than I would have thought.
Yeah. And so, but, you know, if a tree, you know, cannot be saved, you know, it's unhealthy, you know, you need to probably, again, contact a qualified arborist, you know. A guy in a pickup and a chainsaw is not necessarily qualify as an arborist.
Once we take a tree down that we know is infected with the emerald ash borers, is there anything you need to do special with the wood that comes out of that so we don't spread them elsewhere?
Well, that's a good question.
Of course. We're consummate professionals here. Jack and I ask good questions.
That's right. Good questions on.
Back when EEB was discovered, they did have major quarantine areas that they would require you to cut down those ash and then go to a certain lot where they are, supposed to be stored and then they were either ground up or burned.
Right.
They've kind of not, you know, they kind of rescinded that a little bit.
backed off from that much of a harsh
off
position.
Because the bugs travel anyhow. I mean, they're a great hitchhiker, not necessarily just firewood, but they can be on a vehicle anywhere, you know, tucked in a little crevice in a vehicle and go. So they've kind of, you know, not so much worry about the quarantine area. So, but if you do cut a tree down, it, you know, it's probably going to be dead, and the bugs don't live that long, really, inside of the larva. You know, eventually, you know, they'll die off. You know, so there's not a real concern.
It's
got to
be an actively growing tree for them to survive.
Right,
got it?
Right. And so, you know, to take them down, you know, you cut them in firewood, you can burn them right there, you know.
Well, that's what I had planned on doing with mine. If I have to take them out, is they're going to be stacked up, ricked up, and then I'll use them in the fire pit as I get to them.
As a resident, you can take them out to the to our landfill out there where we have a grinder that we can grind them up, and then that, you know, alleviates the spreading of the bug too.
I've done that a few times, not with ash trees, but with some of my evergreens that I have when I'm pruning out limbs and them, and then load them up on the trailer and take them out there. And last time I went, it was actually free to take it out there to do it. Is that still in effect?
Yes, it is.
Very
so far.
Good.
Yep. Yes. And that's kind of nice. Oh, excuse me. Nice to have that service available, you know. You can go out there and actually pick up, you know, the grindings, too.
I've done that, too, and mulched with them.
Right. If you load it up yourself, it's free. But, you know, if you have, you know, have them load it up, it's usually a $25 charge to load it up. And so, anyhow, may have to get back with you on that. I don't know if it's free or not anymore. I'll have to check back
it's
on
been
that.
It's been a year or so since the last time I did it, so I don't know if I did that.
I'm going to take that back.
Okay.
But
we shall
allow
that.
Yeah, so I don't get in trouble.
You got one more week to come in, so you can bring that news next week.
All right. Very good. Very good. Well, you know, these trees are, you know, are not going to make it.
You're probably right.
You know, they're not going to make it. And so, but you can, you know, Rick mentioned earlier that you take the position, just, you know, let the tree live, you know, and if it lasts you a couple more years, great, you know, or last you 5 years, even better. Then once it, you know, once it dies, you know, it's, you're going to have to get it cut down, because when they die from this bug, for some reason, the ash trees get very brittle. And they did a study up in Minnesota. 80% of the trees that were still standing fell over. 80% of them.
At the race?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Just fell over. And so it's, you know, it's a liability when you, you know, leave those trees, leave those dead trees. Yeah. Now, if it's out in the open area, obviously it's not going to hurt anything, but if it's close to a house, close to vehicles, close to people walking on the sidewalk, you know, or a car driving by, you know.
My biggest tree, if it fell directly west, might hit the road. But other than that, it's good. Now, the smaller tree, it's within range, with its radius, it'd fall, there'd be some damage on it. So
yeah. So that's, you know, something to consider. We are going to meet with a forest health specialist on April 17th at 6 p.m. in the council chambers in City Hall. So if anybody's got any more questions, she'll know what things are going on there, probably more so than me. And so, I don't, Tia, you know where to find some information at?
Well, the best place to reference is a site at it's Nebraska Forest Service, nfs.unl.edu. You can access information there online, and they have brochures they can send. They're actually at brochures on ash tree identification and the decline in ash trees, the different kinds of borers, at City Hall in the main office. It's right there in a little display. So anyone that wants to stop by, they may even have them at the library, not sure about that. And then we have a Nebraska statewide arboretum program, and they can visit plantnebraska.org. And of course, if you're taking down a tree, you want to be able to replace it with something. So they list common native trees, but warn you away from the ashes, of course. Uncommon native trees, nearly native trees, native shrubby trees, native and nearly native trees, and woody vines. So that's an extensive list of things that you can consider replacing the EAB.
Oh, I've already made my decision.
Trees.
It's going to be the Kentucky coffee tree. That just intrigues the heck out of me for some reason.
Yeah, and the idea, too, if you know that ash tree is going to go, get a tree planted now.
Yep.
Because, you know, like we said earlier, if it's going to last 2 years, 5 years, that tree will be 2 to 5 years old by the time you cut that other tree down, and it'll be very good size. So
yeah, absolutely. Well, Lyle, I hate to say it, but we're unfortunately out of time. So we thank you for appreciate coming in. Can we see you next week?
If you would like to see me next week, I'd be happy to come in next week.